everyone. I'm Amanda Borchel-Dunn, and welcome to the Times of Israel podcast. This week, I'm bringing you with me on a journey through thousands of years of history and archaeology at the Tower of David Museum in Jerusalem's Old City. It's undergoing a huge renovation, which will make the Crusader period building more accessible and double the space of the indoor galleries. But because they can't build up, the museum, in cooperation with the Israel Antiquities Authority, is going deep down into a filled-in Crusader moat that was covered over in the Ottoman period. What they find is really, really interesting. I speak first with Eilat Lieber, the director and head curator of the 30-year-old museum, and then with Amit Ra'em, the Israel Antiquity Authority's Jerusalem District head. He gives us a deep, detailed historical overview and takes us behind the scenes at the excavation. Now remember, the emphasis is on the word behind. Enjoy. Hi, Eilat. Thank you for joining me. Please tell the listeners who you are.
Hi, I'm Eilat Lieber, and I have the honor to be the director and the chief curator of the Tower of David Museum.
Okay, so what is this renovation all about?
After a very successful time and a lot of visitors, millions, it was about time to renew the exhibition. So we started think about a new exhibition telling the same story of the history of Jerusalem. It's a very long story, 4,000 years of history, but we realized that it's not enough. Actually, the citadel, after so many years, needed a very large conservation and preservation project. Of course, the ancient walls, the towers, the galleries, the stones. It was about time to see what's happening.
And to make it more accessible as well.
Of course, it was also important as to improve the accessibility. Mm-hmm. And we started to think about and plan this project. And the idea was also to double the space of the indoor galleries of the museum, since it was very successful, and we thought that the potential is much more, because let's say 2019 we had over 500,000 visitors coming from all over the world, but the potential is much more. As you know, this is the main entrance to the Old City, just near Jaffa Gate. The main gate to the four quarters of the Old City. So we thought we can actually bring more than 1 million visitors. And since the location is, the Old City of Jerusalem, in a very archaeological area, we knew it's not about new buildings. The only way to double the space is to excavate and find more spaces downstairs. And it was a huge, actually, opportunity for us, because we knew about the moat that the Crusaders built. And in the western part, it was covered by the ramparts of the Ottomans. So it was an opportunity to open it and to see if the space is there and it can be a new gallery. And that's what's happening right now.
Hi, Amit. Thank you for joining me today. Please tell me, first of all, what do you do for the Reshut Atikot, the Israel Antiquities Authority?
I'm Jerusalem District Archaeologist on behalf of the Israeli Antiquity Authority. And also for numerous years, I'm excavating and exploring the medieval citadel known as the Tower of David. Today, the Tower of David Museum.
Yes, we're sitting in the Tower of David in a really beautiful office, essentially, with high ceilings and all sorts of arches that peak in the middle. So for anyone who hasn't been here, you've definitely seen the museum, at least on any kind of photograph of Jerusalem, because it has that outstanding tower that everyone recognizes. But what is the building already? It seems like a real combination of many different periods. What are we seeing?
Yes, you're absolutely right. I first need to say that the Tower of David is a symbol. If you ask people, what is your impression about the old city of Jerusalem, what you remember, so first they will remember this formidable medieval structure. The Tower of David, this medieval citadel, is a symbol of Jerusalem. And before I will explain about the history and the archaeology of the citadel, I must say that this is a rare opportunity, us, the archaeologists, to explore a symbol of Jerusalem. This renovation work enabled us to get access to the hidden places of the citadel and decipher its secrets. But let's start from the beginning and you will understand what is the importance of this place. Just imagine, clean all the houses, all the structures in this area. Stay only with the topography of this area. So we are standing at the summit of what is known as the Western Hill of Jerusalem. It's approximately 7.78 meters above sea level. It's one of the highest points, topographical points, in Jerusalem. And at the foot of this hill, there is a valley. Today, you cannot see this valley because the old city is building above this valley. But for those who are familiar with Jerusalem, David Street, the main street crossing the old city from the west to the east, is approximately situated above this valley. So why this topographical aspect is important? Because this is a crucial, a strategical point. Controlling Jerusalem, and yet this valley is a weak point, meaning that if you want to conquer Jerusalem, you will come to this point because you could enter easily inside the city. Because of that, all the empires, all the great rulers of Jerusalem, all the kings of Jerusalem seek to hold and possess this area because it's very strategical.
So when you're talking about the kings of Jerusalem, you're talking about from the time of King David even, or how early do we have remnants?
Let's remember that Jerusalem in the time of King David was much smaller. And we know today that probably it was situated in the eastern, what is known as the Eastern Hill of Jerusalem, which is today the touristic site known by the name the City of David. Because right there, we actually find the most ancient remaining in Jerusalem. But, there is a big but. Toward the end of the First Temple period, let's say about the 8th century, the 7th century BC, Jerusalem grew. And it's concluded what is known today as Mount Zion, the Armenian quarter, and the Jewish quarter. Probably because the population grew and they need more space. So it's expanded, Jerusalem of David, expanded toward the west and included this area that we are sitting today, known as the David Citadel. We find in archaeological excavation remains of fortifications from the 8th century BC. You know, graphically, if I'm comparing it to the Bible, probably this is the time of Hezekiah, King Hezekiah, because we know that he fortified the city. And indeed, we find remains of fortifications from that period. Later on, if I will progress in the timeline, we are already in the time of the Hasmoneans, the great Jewish rulers. You know, we are in 1 month, I think we are celebrating Hanukkah, the Maccabean. Mm-hmm. Those are the Hasmoneans, the rulers of Jerusalem. We're speaking about the 2nd century BC or the 1st century BC. And they erected here at this spot great fortified towers and fortification.
Okay, we're now standing outside, forgive all the construction sound. And Amit, you were just showing me some amazing little stone balls, which are actually ballistics.
Yeah, Amanda, and it's actually archaeological evidence for an historical event, because we think that this is an evidence from the conquering of Jerusalem by the Greeks, Antiochus Sidates, when he conquered Jerusalem in the 2nd century BC. And you see here an evidence. We never touch it. We find it like this.
You found it like this and you just left it on the ground.
And we left it in order that the people could understand this historical moment. Uh-huh. And right here also, above the great tower of the Asmonean period, you could see remains of the Byzantine period and remains from Herod period. And we spoke about the round tower, the Muslim mm-hmm. tower, and here in the horizon, 10 meters from us, you could see the great round tower from the Muslim period. And you could start feeling what I'm speaking about. What mm-hmm. is the archaeology of Jerusalem? Layer above layer, fortification above fortification. Like a huge puzzle.
It does. It feels like a quilt almost, where things are patched right on top of each other, different
exactly,
periods.
Exactly.
So the actual square towers, which there are several of, when are they from?
Now, from this level, where we are standing, is starting the medieval citadel of David citadel, beginning from the Crusader period, the Ayyubid and the Mamluk and the Ottoman. All these great halls that you see and the warrior niche were built in medieval time. And if I will take you back to 1935, mm-hmm. when Jones started mm-hmm. to excavate this area, you will not believe. He started to excavate from our level.
Oh, wow.
This level. See
so
how
that's
deep
what, 30 the... 30 meters down
yes.
or so?
Yes. Uh-huh. See how deep the archaeologists went down.
Wow.
People do not understand it, but the original level of the medieval fortress was right here.
And that's amazing. So basically having it built on top of everything else just preserved it, and now you're feeling
it back.
Sealed
it in time.
Yes.
And we find it.
Uh-huh. Brilliant. Okay, let's keep going.
We are now at the Hasmonean period, and we find here in the archaeological excavations numerous towers and fortifications from that period. And I'm continuing to the time of King Herod the Great. We are all familiar with King Herod the Great.
Sure, the great builder.
We are speaking about approximately the end of the first period, the end of the first century BC, okay, something like this. And this is the time of glory in this place, because Herod erect here his royal palace.
Okay.
And this palace mm-hmm. is magnificent. Mm-hmm. This palace is a wonder, even in the terms of ancient antiquity. You know, when we examine the remains of his palace from the archaeological excavation, Herod in his building project, especially here in Jerusalem, overshadowed his benefactors, the Roman Caesars in Rome, doing his building project right here in Jerusalem. And if you read the well-known historian Josephus Flavius, probably all of you are familiar with him. He was a historian who lived here in Jerusalem and described the Roman conquering of Jerusalem around 70 AD. He even said that Herod Palace, with its beauty, overshadowed the beauty of the Temple Mount. And he described here large rooms, swimming pools, tunnels, fountains, a lot of gold and silver decorating the rooms of the royal palace.
And are you finding any of these swimming pools, any archaeological evidence
yes,
for that?
We are finding it. Again, those are archaeological remains, but I can say now, at this stage of the research, that if we will consider the archaeological remains from Herod Palace that we are finding in the numerous excavations right here, it's Josephus' descriptions is rather very accurate.
Really? Because he often exaggerates, right? He's kind of known for that.
He exaggerates in the historical events. But on the topographical description, I think that he was very accurate, you know, as you can be 2,000 years ago.
Sure.
But what is important is the strategical importance of this area. Herod also see it, because right here, when you are where you are seated, he erected 3 megalomaniacal towers. Okay. Huge towers that control and guard his wonderful palace that was to the south. And the medieval citadel, David's citadel, is built above Herod Palace, actual original Herod towers, and combine these towers within the medieval citadel. Now, the story of this area, they didn't ended in Herod time, because when the Romans conquered Jerusalem, 66, 70 AD, probably we think that the Roman garrison, the Roman soldier, the 10th Legion camp, was right here. We find archaeological clues that enable us to determine, although there is debate in the research, where exactly was the camp of the 10th Legion. But the general opinion is that the Roman soldiers occupied this area. And we are continuing to the Byzantine period. The 6th century AD, 7th century AD, and also the Byzantine rulers of Jerusalem erected fortification and stronghold here in this area. Also, what is very, very interesting, that they use Herod towers as cells, not just cells, but cells for hermits, monks, which look to isolate and dedicate their life to God, and they live in isolation in halls inside Herod towers and inside these ancient fortifications. The glowiness of this area continue in the early Muslim period, because the Muslim laid the foundation for the citadel that you see today. And
So when was the Herodian building actually raised? When did it come down? It was adapted and used for different things, and until today we're using part of it, right? But when did the actual Herodian building disappear?
You know, Amanda, we do not have clear answer. It's easy to say that it was destroyed during the Roman conquering of Jerusalem. But for the other hand, probably if we read carefully Josephus Flavius, this is the only area which was not destroyed. All of the city was demolished completely, but this area probably survived. And I could just imagine, this is my own interpretation, I cannot prove it or disprove it, but when the Roman government came to Jerusalem and visited Jerusalem, probably stayed here. And we have another clue, because in ancient times, we spoke about the Byzantine, early Christianity, they identified the city of David right here. Not as we know today that it was probably the Eastern Hill, not here. But if you read ancient Byzantine Christian sources, they describe the city of David right here.
Is that the source of the name of the museum, the Tower
Perfect,
of David?
Perfect, Amanda. Mm-hmm. Because of that, the Tower of David in Latin is called Turris David, the Tower of David. The main gate, Jaffa Gate, Porta David. All the Davidic names in early antiquity, in the Byzantine area, surrounding this space. Why? You could ask why? Because people came here and probably they see the great towers, and probably they saw the remains of Herod Palace, which was magnificent. Who could build these remains if not the biblical kings of Jerusalem? So they believe that here is the city of David.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, it's Sarah Tuttle Singer from the Times of Israel. Come join our community and support fast and fair independent journalism. You can sign up with the link at the bottom of every single article on the site.
So when they're building, basically a lot has crumbled down. We still see the towers, and then the Muslim period comes in and it builds anew. That's the idea?
This is the magic of this place, because everybody built on top of the earlier phase. You have to understand that it was not like today. Let me demonstrate. If you, Amanda, want to build your new house, so you are bringing large mechanical tool, shovel, and it's destroyed completely what was in your house before. It's even dug and drilled in the ground and demolished everything completely. This is the end of archaeology. In ancient time, usually they built above earlier remains. And this is my occupation, archaeology. So when the Muslim came here in the 8th, 9th century AD, they built what we see in archaeology, a large fortress with round towers.
Round towers.
Round towers. Mm-hmm. And we see it. And you could still see it here in the courtyard of the citadel. Large round tower from the time of the early Muslim period. But the shape of the citadel as we know it today was shaped in the medieval times. When I'm speaking about medieval times in Jerusalem, I'm referring to the Crusader period. I'm speaking about the Ayyubid period, the Mamluk period, and early Ottoman period. From the time scale, I'm speaking about the 12th century until the 16th century AD. And the fortress, in all its glowiness, was shaped in those periods. The moat, the bastion, the great towers, the military architecture that we see here in every corner was shaped in those periods.
Military architecture, such as slits for windows and very thick walls and things
of
that nature.
Mm-hmm. Machiculating, porticulis, those are all terms of medieval architecture. So, during our work, we are opening doors that were closed for 20, 30 years, and even more. We are facing such a door, okay, which was probably closed in 1985, and from that point, nobody opened it. And it was used as a simple storeroom. When we open it, we find tables and chairs until the ceiling, it was blocked, until the ceiling of this room. Nobody remember who opened this room, why, what was originally this room used for, until we came. We clear it, we clean it, we excavate it, and we find something amazing.
Okay,
that's it.
Wow.
I have not
quite the intro.
Yet.
So we're inside, basically. Describe it for us.
Now we are inside a large hall, and Amanda, I want to ask you one question. Are you smelling?
Yeah, it
where
smells
we
like
are?
Mold, actually. Here.
Mold?
Dank mold.
You know where you are? You are in, excuse me for my language, you are in a shithole.
Ah, okay.
Shit pit. We are inside ancient toilet, what is known as latrine. Probably maybe from the Crusader period or the Ayyubid period. And if you look up, you could see all the shaft of the toilet starting in the seats of the toilet, up in the tower. We follow those shafts until the seat, and we think that we even reach to the room of the commander of the citadel, which have a special royal seat, royal toilet, and it reach until here.
So, it's so interesting because the walls are slightly diagonal, so I guess to propel the poop.
Yeah, propel the poop. And when the poop came here, you know, the listeners could not see it, but from here, everything went down in this huge underground tunnel. It's a sewage system, sewage tunnel. Everything with water flashed 200 meters toward the Valley of Hinnom.
Okay.
Or today, those who know this area, the Mamila Mall. But look carefully, Amanda. This is not an ordinary sewage system because it's huge, it's large. Human being could pass inside. So always when I'm here, I'm imagine the nights when you are in trouble, the citadel is in trouble, and you need to run away to escape the citadel. You are using these underground secret passages. In this case, a sewage system, but it could save your life, okay? We are also planning to excavate it, and maybe together with the help of a well-known explorer, his name is Piers Mitchell, he's a British archaeologist. I didn't speak with him, he doesn't know yet, but I hope he will help me to examine the soil that was accumulated on the ground of the toilet. Using it, doing so, we will be able to learn about the diet of the Crusaders, their disease. Maybe we will find out an ancient virus and wake him. Who knows?
Have the next pandemic.
Yes, great.
So at the end of this tunnel that's going out, is there an actual
now
door?
We clear it. Now we clear it until something like 30 meters, but it's blocked by a modern cement foundation of a house that was built up above. You know, those who built up above didn't know that there is underground secret passages. So they penetrate the ground with cement and block it. I hope that together with the help of the museum, we will break it and continuing following it. And it's going to be a great adventure
to
the visitors of the museum.
It would be so fun to come with the kids. And when life gets shitty, you just have a way to go.
Yeah.
It's fine. Yofi. What else do we have?
I want to speak a little bit about the archaeology, the archaeologists of the citadel, because it's also very, very interesting. And it's all started in 1935, 36, you know, Jerusalem was in the hands of the British, the British Mandate. And a great archaeologist, British archaeologist, his name is Cedric Norman Jones, conducted large archaeological excavations in the courtyard of the citadel. Some even claim that the famous movies, Indiana Jones, were made on him. But actually, if I may say, if you read his books and articles, he's a very boring guy, so I'm very doubtful. But in any case, he was a brilliant archaeologist. And he was the first to find the fortifications from the time of the Hasmoneans, from the times of Herod, the Byzantine, and so on.
What was the building being used for at that point? Wasn't it used as a hospital at a certain point? Or am I making that up?
There were two major buildings in this period. The area of the citadel, which there was a plan by the British to turn into the Museum of Jerusalem, of the old city. Nothing new, okay? And nearby, there was another complex of building known by the name as the Kishle. Kishle is a Turkish word, meaning the place of the soldier or something like this. And this was a military camp by the British together with a prison and a hospital. So after Jones, numerous Israeli archaeologists continue his work after the Six Days War, 1967, names like Ruth Amiran and Avi Tan, Hillel Geva, René Sivan and Giora Solar. But everybody emphasized on the ancient remains of the citadel, the First Temple period, the Second Temple period, the Byzantine period, and on the way, the history, the great history of this place in medieval time was forgotten in time. And one of our aims of the new project is to tell the tale of this place in the medieval times.
Which is not necessarily a Jewish tale, as opposed to, shall we say, the First Temple period or the Second Temple period. The story that you're going to be telling us about the medieval period is a very interfaith tale.
Of course. Those are great periods in Jerusalem. This is a large part of the history of Jerusalem. And the tale must be told. Okay? And you know what? As a point of view of an explorer, and I'm not working here alone, we have a team of the Israeli antiquity archaeologists who was working here together with other experts. The beauty of exploring the medieval citadel is that we have the combination of archaeology and written sources, ancient sources. There are numerous ancient sources about the citadel, written in Latin.
Or
written
Arabic.
In Arabic.
Right.
Yeah. And we hope in the future, we are only in the beginning, to do this combination between the written word and the stone. And then you will have the absolute understanding and knowledge about the citadel. We are now outside the citadel, and this is going to be the new lobby to the new museum.
Oh, so the entrance side will change?
Yeah, the change. Mm-hmm. From the historical entrance to a new entrance.
Okay.
But this is an addition from the Ottoman period, from the 16th century. Now, this is another beauty of exploring the citadel, because we are able to detect the different technique of the warriors. In medieval times, they used balustrades and arrows. Mm-hmm. And from the Ottoman period, they already started to use explosive cannons. And they built this platform to hold the cannons, okay? And we are removing now the platform, excavating beneath it. You can see our excavation here. It's a little bit dirty. It ended a few days ago. And you could see the special techniques of documenting with laser and everything. Mm-hmm. It's like a spaceship. Another important, let me give you another example. We all thought that this is the western fortification of the citadel. We all thought that this was from the time of the Crusader, the 12th century. It's appearing in the books. If it's appearing in the books, it's true.
Or in the times of Israel.
Or in the times of Israel.
Right.
It's true. But for now, when we conducted excavation, Mark, we have a large question mark. Why? Because right here, it's covered. We find an Arabic inscription in secondary use. Belonged to the great rulers, Ayyubid rulers of Jerusalem. His name is El Malek El Mu'atem Issa. Okay, and he erected the fortifications of Jerusalem in approximately 1212
On every tower, he put a large sign in Arabic. I'm the great ruler, El-Malek El-Mu'atem Isa, built the fortifications and the towers. But it's happened that in those times, the Fifth Crusade reached near the Holy Land. And El-Mu'alek Isa was afraid. Wow, the Crusader is coming again. And they are going to conquer Jerusalem. But I personally do not have army here who could defeat the Crusaders. But I will do smart thing. I'm going to ruin by myself, in my own hands, all the fortifications that I built in order that when the Crusaders seize Jerusalem, they will have it with no walls. And I could come back with my army and reconquering again. So he demolished all his walls and those inscriptions. But the Crusader never came to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem, all the walls were destroyed. And the inscriptions, in this example, was taken and put in the foundation of the walls of the western fortification of the citadel, in what we call in a secondary use. It is not in original place, but we have a date on the inscription.
And which is much later than what you had thought?
Absolutely, Amanda. Uh-huh. You're starting to think as an archaeologist. So if we have a date on the inscription, 1212, it's mean, and if we find it in the foundation of the fortification, it's mean that the fortification is from the 13th century and not from the 12th century. So we're changing history.
Wow, mm-hmm. That's amazing. Okay.
We planned the new entrance building as a new public square. So it's going to change the whole atmosphere of the entrance to the old city, since it's going to be a very nice square with a garden and shade, and a new museum cafe and a museum shop.
You had me at cafe. What is the expected timeline of this, of the finish of the renovation?
Beginning of 22.
Okay, so in Israel terms, should we add 5 or 6 years?
No, no way, no way. And you could see it outside. The weather is still nice and good. And we hope to be ready for the, you know, upcoming time when visitors will be able to return to Jerusalem and enjoy an updated museum, well-preserved citadel. And let's hope that by that time, even the crisis will be over.
Amen, amen. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for listening to the Times of Israel podcast. And thanks to TLV1 Studios for sound help and the Diva Family Band for the music. If you like what you hear, please subscribe wherever you find your podcasts. Until next time, this is Amanda Borshaldan. Shalom.